hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere.
Very good evening to our listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life, and we thank God for another Saturday, and I'll be with you from now till 10 p.m. I'm Eben, and last week we started this very interesting topic of the coming revival. The times we live in, the end times, the coming revival, some will call it the Great Awakening. And indeed, tonight we are continuing by the grace of God. And I believe those who listened last week learned a lot of things. And for those who missed, you can listen to it, spiritissues.info. For those who are on the Telegram group platform, you can join at Spirit Issues. And you can have the file of last week's issues there as well. Indeed, it's a very critical time in the body of Christ in Christian history that we find ourselves in. If you just look at things from the surface, you may see it as a normal time, I mean, as we've known. But as I've said in times past on this program, one of the missing links for Christians sometimes is identifying when the seasons change, the spiritual seasons, I mean. And the seasons have changed. We are in a new season altogether. Unfortunately, if you are not careful, you may miss it and you will think all is well. A lot is happening in our times. You look at all the news happening in the world. Bible prophecies being fulfilled at breakneck speed. I mean, it's fascinating. And no generation has seen the way things are aligning with scripture as we are seeing. No generation has seen the things we are seeing in terms of Bible prophecy lining up just as Bible prophesied. You know, it's interesting. This week, one of the listeners sent me a message that he's been listening to this program the last 3 or 4 years, and the things we've been saying are virtually coming to pass. And, you know, another person said, I'm not a prophet. Me, I see it as the Lord guides and leads in the midst of the news or whichever, talking about it or whatever. I say it as it is. And, you know, that's it. These are the times we live in, where you read the Bible, you read the news, and you compare and realize this is it. These are the things the Bible talked about. And sometimes you have to go beyond just the Bible and the news alone, because sometimes you have to understand the reasons for some things behind the news. And when it comes to end times, as we call it, eschatology and all that, it goes just beyond just Bible prophecies, but it's a combination of other factors, global events, geopolitics, sometimes science and all combined. You have to understand some of these things to make sense of some of the things happening, for you to be able to really make spiritual sense in terms of Bible prophecy. Unfortunately, most times Christians don't tend to research or read that much. So we just gloss beyond. We just look at the surface of things and that is it. So we are limited in information. So it makes it difficult for some time Christians to appreciate what is truly happening. And this evening, I'll talk briefly about it in the course of the news as well. You know, this great reset and the COVID and all that. You know, if you don't connect the dots well, you won't appreciate what is happening. Connecting the dots is very, very critical. Because if you're able to get the true picture of what is truly happening or the real agenda, then when you see some things happening now, you can know the end point or the ultimate aim of what you are seeing today. And because people fail to see that end point, so we just look at what is happening today and we think, oh, this is nothing, or, you know, stuff like that. But I believe we need the wisdom of God more than ever before these times we are in. It's very, very, very critical. We need the wisdom of God. You know, when science seems to run in parallel with Bible prophecy, it really means that you have to pay attention to the situation and the times we live in. And, you know, this is the season which is virtually too obvious that this is the end time the Bible talked about. And failure to connect the dots well regarding the circumstances and the things happening now will easily make you miss significant messages or significant signposts that we should be able to know and spot things. And, you know, one critical thing you have to note is that the end time is obviously going to be characterized by deception. I mean, Jesus was clear about it. He warned us clearly about deception. And so if the end time is going to be characterized by deception, then it means that we have to be very careful about information, because deception is going to be a principal agenda of the enemy. And he warned us. I mean, why else would Jesus say that many false prophets shall arise? I mean, what is the purpose of the false prophets? To deceive the church, of course. And he didn't say a few, he says many. And that should even be a cause of worry for all, because Matthew 24:11, it says many. If many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, then it means we are in trouble, all of us, because many false prophets arising to deceive many means deception is really going to be a major issue in the body of Christ prior to the coming of Christ. And you see, what is deception? What is false? Like, false, opposite of truth is false. So if you don't say what is the truth, it is falsehood. So it's so easy for the opposite of truth, which is falsehood, to be the commonplace, because lack of truth and then becomes false. So we are in times where we have to be very critical about information and what we are told by our leaders, because the fact that our leaders tell us something does not necessarily mean we should just accept it hook, line, and sinker. We always now have to cross-check things ourselves with the Holy Spirit and with the Bible ourselves, because this has warned us anyway. So if you just follow the normal line of, oh, church leadership says this, so it's so, you can easily run into error. These are the times we need the Bible and the Holy Spirit more than ever before. We need him more than ever before. And if you just follow things just for following sake, then you can really run into error. You know, the great resets, I've mentioned it a few times here. Let me just link it and start the news, starting of the news. Let me read something briefly. Edward Snowden, and this guy is an American whistleblower who copied and leaked highly classified information from the National Security Agency in 2013 when he was in the CIA and a subcontractor. Now he is hiding in Russia, has given him whatever to stay there because he's wanted in the US. He made a statement regarding COVID and he said this. Governments, that's S, I mean, he's referring to the world governments, are using coronavirus to build, quote, the architecture of oppression, unquote. Governments are using the coronavirus to build the architecture of oppression. In other words, governments are using the coronavirus to control. They are building that system to control. You see, this whole thing is about human control. If you really analyze it well, it is about human control. Let me quote this from Professor Klaus Schwab, founder and executive chairman, World Economic Forum. Quote, says, the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world, unquote. This is the founder of World Economic Forum, and he has been making a lot of noise about the Great Reset, and all that. He says, the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. So that is where they've come up with the Great Reset, that this is the time to reset the world. Canadian Prime Minister made this statement, quote, this pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change, unquote. You know, so this, and what is the Great Reset? I mean, according to the World Economic Forum, from their website itself, this is a summary of it. They also call it the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And you see, all these are names, but indirectly, it is what we've been over the years calling the New World Order, but New World Order, New World Order. That's what they've rebranded it to make it look like something different, but that is it. Quote, it says, a fusion, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, or the Great Reset, is a fusion of our physical, digital, and biological worlds. A fusion of our physical, digital, and biological worlds. If you go further into it, analyze it well, you realize it's more than the biological that you are seeing there. It's more than the physical you are seeing there, and it's more than the digital you are seeing there. It's about controlling the human beings on earth. That is what these globalists, the plan they have for the whole world. So we are at a point where if you hear something that says worldwide, global, something is to be done at the global level, everyone, the whole world, it should quickly cause you to ask questions in your mind. We should think and think beyond just what we hear. Let me start the news. It says COVID-19. This headline says COVID-19. There should be laws to ensure everyone is vaccinated. And this is according to an MP in Ghana, Honorable Appiah Yakubi. And this was on the show on NIT FM in Accra. And when I watched the video this afternoon, I sent it to those of you, the link to you on my broadcast list. You know, it's just interesting. It's very interesting. You know, people, some of the responses I got, people like are really shocked that this is coming from an MP in Ghana. But this is it. I mean, we've been saying this, that we are getting there. We are getting there. You see, for now, yes, they've not passed the law. But the fact that that suggestion is even coming up means we'll get to that point where eventually it's possible this is going to happen that way. You know, so it's very interesting how things are shaping up gradually. This headline too says, declining a COVID vaccine risks penalties in some countries. And Indonesia is considering levies of fines, whilst other governments warn of restricting access to travel and public places. you know, Israel is really doing a lot in this regard. Interestingly, the WHO had a statement this week against mandatory coronavirus vaccines. And that's what they are advising, that it should not be mandatory. They've said persuading people on the merit of COVID-19 vaccine will be far better than trying to make jabs mandatory, adding individual countries will decide as to how they want to conduct their vaccination campaigns. And this was on Al Jazeera. Then this headline, vaccination passports, quote-unquote passports, may open society, but inequality looms. And this is an Associated Press report from Israel. Let me read briefly part of it. Violet lights bathed the club stage as 300 masks and socially distanced erupted in gentle applause. For the first time since the pandemic began, Israeli musician Aviv Geffen stepped to his electric piano and began to play for an audience seated right in front of him. Quote, a miracle is happening here tonight, unquote, Geffen told the crowd. Still, the reanimating experience Monday night above the shopping mall north of Tel Aviv night was not accessible to everyone. Only people displaying a green passport that proved they had been vaccinated or had recovered from COVID-19 could get in. The highly controlled concert offered a glimpse of a future that many are longing for after months of COVID-19 restrictions. Governments say getting vaccinated and having proper documentation will smooth the way to travel, entertainment, and other social gatherings in post-pandemic world. But it also raises the prospect of further dividing the world along the lines of wealth and vaccine access, creating ethical and logistical issues that have alarmed decision makers around the world. Other governments are watching Israel churn through the world's fastest vaccination program and grapple with the ethics of using the shots as diplomatic currency and power. Inside Israel, green passports or badges obtained through an app is the coin of the realm. The country recently reached agreements with Greece and Cyprus to recognize each other's green badges, and more such tourism-boosting accords are expected. Anyone unwilling or unable to get the jabs that confer immunity will be left behind, quote-unquote, left behind, said Health Minister Yuli Edelstein. Quote, it's really the only way forward at the moment, unquote, Geffen said in an interview with the Associated Press. The checks at the club's doors, which admitted only those who could prove they are fully vaccinated, allowed at least a semblance of normality. Quote, people can't live their lives in the new world without them, unquote. New world without them. He said, we must take the vaccines. We must, unquote. The vaccine is not available to everyone in the world, whether due to supply or cost. And some people don't want it for religious or other reasons. In Israel, a country of 9.3 million people, only half of the adult population has received the required two doses. There is new pressure from the government to encourage vaccination, and Israeli lawmakers on Wednesday passed a law allowing the health ministry to disclose information on people who have yet to be vaccinated. Can you imagine that? Those who have not been vaccinated, their information is going to be divulged out. Under the policy, names can be released to the ministries of education, labor, social affairs, and social services, as well as local governments, with the purpose of allowing these bodies to encourage people to get vaccinated. The government is appealing to the emotional longing for the company of others in Israel's storied outdoor markets at concerts like Geffen's and elsewhere. With the green pass, doors just open for you. You could go out to restaurants, work out at gym, and see a show, unquote, read an announcement on February 21st, the day much of the economy reopened after a six-week shutdown. Then it raised a question at the center of the global quest to conquer the pandemic that has hobbled economies and killed nearly 2.5 million people. Quote, how to get the pass? Go and get vaccinated right now. It's that simple. In Israel, which has enough vaccines to inoculate everyone over 16, Although the government has been criticized for sharing only tiny quantities with Palestinians in the occupied West and Gaza, Prime Minister Netanyahu said this week he intends to send SS vaccines to the country's allies, and on and on and on. And then in this same article, Ghana is also featured in, where it talks of the fact that Ghana on Wednesday became the first of 92 countries to get vaccines for free through the initiative, that's the COVAX initiative. And COVAX announced that about 600,000 doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine arrived in the African country. That's a fraction of the 2 billion shots the WHO aims to deliver this year. All those countries begin vaccinations, and then wealthier nations are starting to talk about green passport, logistics, security, privacy, and policy. And in the UK, the British government said it's studying the possibility of issuing some kind of COVID status certification that could be used by employers and organizers of large events as it prepares to ease lockdown restrictions this year. Prime Minister Boris Johnson, said the policy could cause problems. We can't be discriminatory against people who, for whatever reason, can't have the vaccine, he said. Many countries around Europe are scrambling to develop their own vaccine certifications to help revive summer travel, generating a risk that different systems could work properly across the continent's borders. I hope you pay attention to this part. Let me repeat. Many countries around Europe are scrambling to develop their own vaccine certification systems to help revive summer travel, generating a risk that different systems won't work properly across the continent's borders. I will explain this a bit. Let me just finish this particular one. I think there's a huge potential for not working well together, said Andrew Bad, CEO of facial biometrics company iProve, which is testing its digital vaccination passport technology within UK's National Health Service. But the technical knots around vaccine passports may be the easier ones to solve, he said. The bigger challenges are principally ethical, social, political, and legal. How to balance the fundamental rights of citizens with the benefits to society. You know, they talk about the fact that other countries are doing their own, but the compatibility within elsewhere will be the challenge. And that is exactly where this whole thing eventually is leading to, something much bigger than we are seeing. So yes, they are doing the vaccinations and all. Now countries are giving cards. Some countries are giving physical cards, printed card, and they write your date, your name, blah, blah, blah on it. And then in Israel, they have an app that is on your smartphone. And in some countries in Europe, as I just read, are also developing their various systems. But you need eventually to prove it beyond your country. You travel to another country, you should be able to prove that, yes, I've been vaccinated. But if their system is also a different system, how then does it work there and all that? This is where eventually it would be agreed that let's have a global system which is unified. So across board, let's have a common system, a common database for the whole world, so that whether you are in Kumasi and you travel to Australia, you are in Australia and you travel to Papua New Guinea or wherever, the same system will be applicable. This is eventually where it will get to. And this is also the reason why faster internet is going to be needed. So for those who don't understand the purpose of the 5G that was being talked about and all that, this is where it's going to be used, for fast connectivity of searching records of people, records of databases of vaccinated people and all that. So you see, it's starting from a vaccine, but the question we should be asking is, what next? Beyond the vaccine, what is going to happen? And it is at that point going forward that is where the issues link up more into the global system. So on the surface, it will look like, oh, what is the big deal? And I've been saying it here. It's just like you see class one building, you know that there's class six at the end of that building. The vaccine is just the starting point. The end point is where the identification comes in. And that identification is where, you see, as I said, anytime this you are hearing of global, something needs to be done at the worldwide, global, it should cause you to ask questions that, global, that means the whole world. Since when in this world of ours have we had any vaccine that has been, agenda has been pushed to vaccinate everyone in the world? We've never had that. The whole world. With the aim of having every world, every member in the world, every individual in the world to be vaccinated. We've never had that. So if now something like that is coming up, and now they are talking of identification in terms of proof of vaccination, it should also be global when we get to that point in time. So it's a slow process, but is gradually moving to that point. And this is where we have to understand it well. That the question is, beyond the vaccine, what happens? Beyond that, what is going to happen beyond that, the identification? In countries like Ghana, things may delay a bit in Africa, especially because of the, we don't have proper databases and all that. But even in Ghana, we are way ahead of a lot of African countries. Ghana is way ahead. So we cannot really think we have much time, because we have systems which are gradually building towards this. And so when these systems are put in place, clearly it's just a matter of time. We are headed towards the global system. And I've been saying it on this program for some time, that digitization, as we've been hearing our vice president talking, digitization, it is all pointing towards a global system. It's all pointing towards a global system. All right, let me continue. This next headline, Global Airline Industry Body, that's to launch COVID travel passport by March. The International Air Traffic Association, IATA, has announced that it will launch a COVID-19 travel pass by March, which it says will give travelers a way to display test results and confirmation they've received a vaccine. I sat in this chair late last year, around November or so, one of the editions, and I was telling Brian, I was in the studio, I was telling him that IATA would get to this point. They would do this. I'm not a prophet. I said it late last year, and that's exactly what is going to happen. So just as you need a yellow card, vaccination proof to travel, we are getting to that same thing for COVID. You see, one specialist was granting an interview on this issue, and he said the governments per se will not force people. They are going to use the institutions and organizations. So the airline is starting it. Next, like the big institutions, the banks. So this bank will say that if you don't have a vaccine card or a vaccine proof, whatever, don't come. This big shop or mall, if you don't have a vaccination proof, just as we are having no mask, no entry, we'll get to that point. Companies, institutions, no vaccine, no entry. So the government there, he's not said anything. No, he's sitting there quietly. I see no evil, I hear no evil. As if he doesn't know what is happening. But then the systems around institutions, companies, businesses will be tightening the knots little by little without it. But that's why I said, for us, we have a little time though. I mean, but eventually, these are the long-term points where these things will eventually be how the world will be. Because let me say it, if anyone tells you that we are going to have the normal world as we've known it for years, please, it's not going to happen. We are in a new world. The new world is what we are in. And this new world, the foundation is the COVID world, the COVID system. I mean, so this whole new world we are in, the foundation is based on COVID. And as the World Economic Forum, WEF and others have been, the COVID is the reason for this whole, gives the perfect time to reset. So all decisions being made at that level, at that global level, at that top level, is based on, because of COVID, let's do this. Because of COVID, let's do that. So COVID is the premise for all these changes we are going to see in the world. So if they are going about vaccination, it's about COVID. digitization of, all world, every country, ensure that you have your national, you're in a national database, is because of this same COVID, because it will be tied to your vaccination. Everything is going to be linked. Everything is going to be linked, and all because of the COVID. The COVID has presented itself as a perfect reason and excuse to do all the things that they are doing and they want to do. So we are not going back to normal times. No, we are not. The world has changed forever. And this is the new world we are in, the Great Reset, as they are trying to call it. And you see, when we understand these things and we can connect the dots well, then we'll not be surprised with the things that are happening around this whole thing. The next, so the IATA says that the measure dubbed IATA Travel Pass is aimed at providing governments, airlines, and travelers with the streamlined process to ensure there's accurate information, secure identification, and verified data available to meet all relevant COVID-19 restrictions. The IATA has outlined a timeline for the full rollout of its travel pass, with initial efforts underway at Singapore Airlines, whilst a further 20 airlines are testing the app. More companies are set to start using it in the next few months. The organization said it aims to have the full pass ready to go live at the end of March. At the same meeting, the IATA expressed concerns that the ongoing global restrictions around COVID are hitting airlines, with its chief economist warning it will likely take longer than planned for companies to be able to stop burning cash and begin rebounding financially. Some companies have expressed concern that the summer booking period, a popular time for the airline industry, still remains weak, with reservations currently only at 7% of pre-pandemic levels. The IATA, which represents some 290 members, has urged governments to provide further financial support to prevent the crisis in the travel industry from getting worse. Now, please listen to this final paragraph. Please listen to it critically. The statement from IATA comes after Europol, that's European police. Europol issued a warning about criminals selling falsified COVID-19 test results to travelers, allowing them to get around the restrictions in place because of the pandemic. In January, the UK's Immigration Service Union told Britain's Sky News that there is no way for border officers to validate COVID-19 tests to ensure they are legitimate. So back to what I was saying, these are the challenges that will now give a reason that let's make a system that is sure proof, so that people cannot falsify it, people cannot just print their own cards, people cannot bypass it, so that we know that it is verifiable from correct database storage systems. So they've already started seeing the problems. And when you see problems, you bring solutions. And in this era we are in, solutions will have to be IT to make it more effective and worldwide. So gradually, the same things we are talking about, I'm talking about here, they are identifying it and they are discussing it. So that means solutions will be coming, proposals will be coming. And they'll be looking at Israel's success story so far. And even that, there'll be challenges, because what if you lose your phone? Your phone is stolen. You don't have a smartphone. How can't you validate yourself? So that means there should be a solution. At that point, they'll say, then let's put it in you, a chip in you. Then wherever you go, you have it, because you can't have your phone all the time with you, since it can be stolen or it can fall into water and it can't come on. But you get to a place, you still have to prove your validation that you've been vaccinated. In that case, then let's have a simpler solution with a sure proof, which is with you all the time, everywhere, 24/7. And that is where this whole biochip, bio things we've been talking about, this is where it will be coming up. For now, it's not come up, but eventually we'll get there. I'm not a prophet, but we'll get there. You know, these are interesting times we live in. Very, very interesting times. The next news item, this is Tony Blair. Interestingly, he is also pushing seriously for COVID passports. And he is actually lobbying behind the scenes, government official, the various governments. And let me read a portion of this one. It says, Blair, the great authoritarian, hopes to get in 2021 or 2022 what he couldn't get 15 years ago. Quote, I think you are going to the stage where it's going to be very hard for people to do a lot of normal life unless they can prove their vaccination status. Vaccination, in the end, is going to be your route to liberty. Let me repeat. Vaccination, in the end, is going to be your route to liberty. Unquote. He said in a recent interview. And of course, he is working hard to make sure we do get to that stage. Will he succeed? His plan for ID card 15 years ago failed because of the strength of opposition when Labour lost power in 2010. The scheme was ditched, but the Tony Blair Institute, which has received considerable funding for its work from, you can guess, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, boasted on Twitter last May that its teams were embedded in governments around the world. Its teams are embedded in governments around the world, helping them to keep their people safe. We know that Blair has been advising Health Secretary Matt Hancock, and that the secret talks reportedly covered vaccines and mass testing. What is scary today is that the parliamentary opposition, now led by the Uber Blairites care smarter, seems to be even more pro-health passports than the government. But we shouldn't give up hope yet. A petition against COVID-19 vaccine passports has raised almost 200,000 signatures. The campaign against health passports needs the support of the anti-war, anti-imperialist left, and hopefully the fact that it's Tony Blair who is pushing them will cause people to wake up and see the bigger picture. War on terror, war on COVID, only connect, as the great novelist E.M. Forster might say. You know, if you know Tony Blair well, he's one of the, if you talk of the globalists, he's a key figure there. So, you know, behind the scenes, they are pushing. They are working very, 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 very hard. Very hard. And then this final news on it, and then they will move to another part of the segment of the news. Coronavirus, this headline says, says European Union urged to adopt vaccine passports. Greece and Austria are urging other EU states to adopt coronavirus vaccination passports, which could help revive Europe's stricken tourist industry. The idea of such a document, likely to be a certificate, would be to permit those who have been vaccinated to travel freely within the EU. The proposal was put forward during a virtual discussion between EU leaders, but a vaccine passport faces opposition from some of the bloc's 27 member states. France and Germany say such documents could be premature because data on the efficacy of the vaccines in preventing persons from carrying or passing on the virus is incomplete. There are also concerns that enabling a vaccinated minority to enjoy foreign travel, whilst others such as young people who are not seen as a priority for the inoculation continue to face restrictions, would be discriminatory. A further complication is the rapid spread of more contagious COVID variants, the English, the South African, the Brazilian forms, and the possibility of future mutations. So it's more likely that people will need booster jabs to remain protected. That's booster vaccines to remain protected. Greece, as well as Israel, already has digital vaccination certificates, and others such as Denmark and Sweden have talked about developing them. Greek Deputy Prime Minister Akis Sketos told the BBC that a common digital certificate, quote, is not discriminatory at all, unquote. He argued that non-vaccinated tourists could also visit Greece this summer, but the procedure for them would be slower. They would have to be tested and might have to self-isolate on arrival. Greece and Cyprus have agreed to admit COVID-negative COVID negative Israeli tourists this summer. Those who can prove their status with the Israeli Green Digital Certificate. German, now listen to this part, this final paragraph, very interesting. German Chancellor Angela Merkel said it would take 3 months to set up data system for use at borders, at the borders, and in national healthcare systems. That's in Germany. But that most countries agree that, quote, a digital vaccination certificate could be necessary in the future. Let me repeat. Most countries agreed that a digital vaccination certificate could be necessary in the future. As for the future, well, as to how far the future is, they know. But the way the world is moving very fast, like a horse that is galloping, when they say could be necessary in the future, it tells you that's exactly what I'm saying. We are headed towards a certain end point. So for now, we are at class 1. But the real deal will be at class 6. At the end of that block, from class 1, we'll be moving. But at the end of class 6, at the point where we get to class 6, that is where the issues will be far more complicated. And that is where we'll be realizing that we are really working in the pages of the book of Revelation. All right. So a few more news, then we are done. Now to the U.S. 1 in 6 Americans under 23 say they are LGBTQ. This is worrying, as more people in the U.S. than ever identify as non-heterosexual. More Americans than ever identify themselves as lesbians, gay, bisexual, transgender, or queer, according to a survey of sexuality, which with 1 in 6 people under 23 saying they are something other than heterosexual. The Gallup poll released on Wednesday found that 5.6% of Americans classify themselves as LGBTQ, up from 4.5% in 2017. This was the last time Gallup carried out the polling on the issue. And indeed, this is serious. It's serious because if you have 1 in 6 youth under 23 saying they are LGBTQI, whatever, then it tells you this generation is in trouble. And you see, it's not surprising. I mean, just imagine how suddenly the wind is blowing in Ghana and LGBTQ this and that. And people are defending it. I mean, celebrities are... I mean, I saw one this afternoon, one of those hip-hop or whatever, and trying to criticize pastors. That how do they read their Bibles to the extent that they have to criticize the LGBT? And it's like, what type of... what Bible... How you are criticizing them, how they are reading the Bible to criticize the LGBT. And you do even read your Bible to even know what is in there. Because the Bible is clear about it. So anyone who even criticizes pastors and Christians for opposing it doesn't even know what they are talking about in the first place. But the fact that this conversation suddenly has come up and it's all over the place, TV stations, radio stations, discussing it all over the place, and some boldly defending it and trying to defend their rights and all, tells you that the wind is blowing. The wind is, for now, yes, I mean, things are not going as they would want. The office has been closed and all that, but it tells you things are happening behind the scenes, obviously. Then the Catholic League in the U.S., says pro-trans Equality Act. That's the new Equality Act bill that has been passed in the Congress. It's the most comprehensive assault on Christianity ever written into law. And this was passed on this Thursday, just 2 days ago. Another headline says the equality. I'll read portions of the what it contains. And Christians in America should get ready. It's serious. Equality Act will force people to hide their faith, according to Senator Lankford, as he warns at a CPC conference, the Conservative Political Action Conference. And this headline says the U.S. passes Equality Act to end legal recognition of biological sex. The House passed the Equality Act to end legal recognition of biological sex Equality Act on Thursday, which would eliminate the legal definition of biological sex. Kata to gender ideology and designate protection for the unborn as pregnancy discrimination. The House passed H.R. 5, the Equality Act, by 224-206 in the House. Three Republicans voted for the legislation, so that gave them the 224 as against 206. The legislation would rewrite civil rights law to include sexual orientation and gender identity as protected classes. And portions of it are: the Equality Act would force schools nationwide to teach kids about LGBT ideology without parental consent. Mandates that schools allow biological boys to access the girls' restrooms, locker rooms, and showers. Require teachers and students to use their preferred names and pronouns of those who identify as transgender. Require employers to implement strict preferred pronoun policies. Compel employers to provide health insurance for sex realignment surgery. Allow men to enter and use women's public bathrooms, locker rooms, and showers. Allow males to compete in female sports. madness, but when it starts serious. So, require doctors to provide sex reassignment procedures and hormone therapy against their conscience. Also, religious organizations could be sued for failing to hire an individual or failing to retain staff who does not comply with standards of conduct consistent with the organization's missions. It's feared that churches will become the targets. And indeed, this whole thing was passed because of Christians. So this is a new way that the Biden administration is going to use to gag Christians. We want this. We saw it coming ahead, though, and we want people. They say, Trump, we're proud. He is this. He is that. Now, they have their so-called gentleman, and this is what he is bringing. Evil to the core. Actually, he was this week, earlier, he was even pushing, asking the Congress to quickly pass it so that he will sign. Just say, no point, cop and them. He is even in a hurry to make it a law, pass it to a law. Christians are in trouble in the U.S. Because, you see, this thing is going to gag a lot of issues. And one headline put it this way: medical and legal experts warn of Equality Act's impact on parents and kids and religious freedom. Legal and medical experts and concerned parents have warned that the Equality Act, which passed the House on Thursday, will have lasting implications on children, parental rights, and religious freedom if it becomes law. A law there is going to be, because that's it, it's going to sign it. Its effects would be far-reaching because it redefines the public accommodation to include any establishment that provides a service, including churches, shelters operated by religious groups, faith-based adoption agencies, and educational institutions associated with religious denominations and associations. This is really worrying. This is worrying. So now, pastors and churches and religious Christian institutions and all will have to compromise if you want to stay open and avoid legal issues. And this is the challenge. Say the truth and you are in trouble. You know, I saw a news this week. It's not part of what I'm reading, but I saw it. A New York university student who was on like internship or something. It's like teacher training internship type of thing. And he says a man is a man and a woman is a woman. And he's been suspended for saying that. If a man is not a man and a woman is not a woman, what else? But you see, the absurdity, the madness of the society. So you say a man is a man, and now they say, no, don't say that because you are being discriminatory against a woman. And a woman is a woman too. They say, no, don't say it because, you know, the world is just turning upside down. Good is bad. Bad is evil. Evil, gross darkness is coming over the earth. Evil is really spreading fast over the world. And clearly these are the reasons why we need to be revived. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit for the times ahead. Because clearly we are not in ordinary times. No. We are not in ordinary times. And you see, these things, when it starts like that, it spreads. America is a pace setter, don't forget. And when they start doing these things, it has a reaching far-reaching, I mean, implications on other countries indirectly and directly, because U.S. is now going to begin to use these things to influence their policies in with other countries, especially the begging countries like Africa, Ghana. We're always begging for loans and what's giving us grants, and they should help us with our budgets and all that. Now they'll start bringing the conditions. If you do this, that. If you don't do this, that. Someone, I saw an article by a journalist in Accra, very interesting. He said this LGBT thing in Accra, the office, well, it's only the groups, Christian Council and then the Muslim group, you know, the groups, Catholic Bishop Conference. But is it, do you hear that the big names came out to criticize it, the big pastors, because they are all afraid of losing visas, so they are all quiet, because if you go and talk, now you get to the embassies, they can look at these things and they say that you are homophobic, so you will not be allowed. And they've threatened, US for instance has threatened that they'll do it, and the EU can easily do it as well, because they've done it to Franklin Graham in one of his trips to the UK, where he say he's homophobic, so they won't allow him and all. So the fear of even, so this is even Ghana, because of these fears, people were quiet. Some people who people thought they would also be making noise about it, they are all quiet and hiding behind the association. So that's like, they will not be in the news to say that, hey, this so and so pastor has said this. Because these days with Google, I mean, when you are in the news, that's it. I mean, when you get to the embassy, they just type your name in Google and your name will come up. Enjoy FM, Peace FM, Ghana Web. So you're homophobic. Okay, sorry. We can't grant you your visa. I mean, these are the realities. You see, when it comes to these things, being pushing people to compromise, it's a real thing. And this is the world we live in, where because of sin, the church is being pushed to be silent in some instances. They are doing their sin, and they don't want to be doing it in secret. They want to ensure that everybody accepts it. I mean, that is one thing that baffles my mind. I mean, we don't have married couples office anywhere. But you want to set up your office. I mean, how? They'll do your thing in secret, but why do you want an office? For everybody to know you have an office. You see, so if you go and talk, they say, this country, I mean, I saw the news, Amnesty International is chastising Ghana for shutting down the office. You see, I'm just thinking aloud and asking myself, so what if we had marriage correct, like heterosexual marriage, normal man-woman marriage office, and that one to the office, the government shut it down? Would Amnesty International go and make noise that the government has shut down a marriage office, a correct marriage office? That one, they won't even, it won't even be, and they won't hear it. Even when they hear, they'll say it's not their concern. This is the type of world we live in now. And the final news, interesting. Pope Francis to hold interfaith prayer service at birthplace of Abraham. Pope Francis plans to hold an interfaith prayer ceremony next week amid the ruins of an ancient Mesopotamian city and the traditional birthplace of Abraham. In a service, the Vatican has dubbed, quote, prayer for the sons and daughters of Abraham, unquote. The Pope will conduct a service promoting harmony between different religions and will be attended by Christians, Muslims, Mandian, Sabians, Yazidis, and other religious minorities in Iraq, according to Reuters. Okay. And which lies approximately 200 miles south of Baghdad, features as the historical home of Abraham, where he lived until God called him out of it, according to Genesis. And then Judaism, Christianity, and Islam all claim Abraham as their father. All right. So this is where I put the end of the news. I'll be back after this song.
The land is laying barren, desolation everywhere. Harvest that we long for, we look, but it's not there. master's plan is tired and discouraged. The servants work as best they can. Sitting down, a Holy Ghost revival. Revive us. Send the rain from heaven, let our thirsty soul. We need a Holy Ghost revival. Revive us, Lord. Open up the heavens. Take control. The sky sea breaks above us as we look for promised rain. We sow the seed of precious truth to reap the golden rain. But the Spirit power is what we need to see the harvest come. So Lord, send the Holy Spirit, come and glorify your Son. Send down a Holy Ghost revival. Revive us. Send the rain from heaven, let our thirsty souls. We need a Holy Ghost revival. Revive us, Lord. Open up the heavens.
Welcome back to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM in Kumasi. For those listening online and those on normal radio, we are in Kumasi, Spirit FM. And this is Issues of Life. I'm Eben, and the song by Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, Holy Ghost Revival. See, the land is laying barren, desolation everywhere. The harvest that we long for, we look, but it's not there. The devil sows his evil seed to thwart the master's plan. Tired and discouraged, the servants work as best they can. Send down a Holy Ghost revival. Revive us. Send the rain from heaven to flood our thirsty souls. We need a Holy Ghost revival. Revive us, Lord. Open up the heavens. Take control. The sky seems brass above us. As we look for promised rain, we sow the seed of precious truth to reap the golden grain. But the Spirit's power is what we need to see the harvest come. So, Lord, send the Holy Spirit. Come and glorify your Son. Send down a Holy Ghost revival. Revive us. Send the rain from heaven to flood our thirsty souls. We need a Holy Ghost revival. Revive us, Lord. Open up the heavens. Send down a Holy Ghost revival. Revive us. And then say, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. Send revival. Send revival. Send the rain from heaven. Flood our thirsty souls. We need a Holy Ghost revival. Revive us, Lord. Open up the heavens. Open up the heavens. Take control. Such a beautiful song. This was sung by Alvin Slaughter of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. And indeed, last week we started talking about revival, and we had a pastor in Accra, a friend of mine, right from secondary school days, and one of my old friends. And as I said last week, we've been talking about revival for some time, actually. And so last week, when the prompt came that I should start talking about it, obviously he was the first that the Holy Spirit directed me to discuss with and talk about this with him. Indeed, if we need revival, these are the times we need it, because clearly as the world gets darker, I mean, the news that I read alone tells you this world is not getting any better. It's not going to get any better. Evil is increasing. And clearly, we have to also understand that these are the times the Bible warned about. And should we just sit down and look on as evil increases around us? Obviously, it shouldn't be so. We should get to the point where we are not comfortable with what is happening. We should get to the point where we have to say that something has to be done in our lives, in our society, in our churches. There should be a change. We shouldn't be comfortable all throughout when things are just not going right. And I believe that's the sense of calling for a revival, praying for a revival. And indeed, you know, let me read Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Verse 2, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising." Indeed, darkness is it's not covered the earth fully yet. It's still covering because it's increasing. And gross darkness, the people. The people are getting more evil and more gross in their evil deeds, and it's something else. But in the midst of this, the Lord shall arise upon us who are willing and obedient and are ready for him. And his glory shall be seen upon us. And if there was a time that we need to call for and pray for revival and seek revival in our lives and in our churches and in our homes and in our communities, and obviously in our country, it has to start. We have to start thinking about it. We have to start desiring it. We have to start calling it. We have to start praying for it. We have to start praying about it. We should have that desire for it. We shouldn't just sit down unconcerned about the happenings. And we have to spiritually identify that something is missing, and there comes the great opportunity that we have to take advantage of by the great awakening or the revival that God has for us in this time before he comes. And the revival is meant to bring in more souls into the fold. And unless we are not concerned about the unsaved around us, and we are not concerned, but if truly we are concerned about the state of even ourselves, we need to be revived, because revival also brings a fresh empowerment, fresh anointing, and all that. We need to revive ourselves before we can revive others. We need to be revived, and then our revival also now gives us that power and authority. You know, it started from the book of Acts. I mean, they waited on the Holy Spirit to come before they could go out to reach out and evangelize and bring their souls. And the power of the Holy Spirit was the whole difference that came in. Just as the song said, we need the Holy Ghost revival. And they had it in Acts chapter 2. And there was a tremendous change, as you all know. Peter able to immediately preach and 3,000 souls get saved. Clearly, this cannot be a human activity. This is obviously the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is what we call revival. It's change, which we clearly know that this is God who has manifested and done something. And it is possible. You know, we shouldn't relegate it to the books as, oh, it happened in the Bible, those days, it's past and gone. For those who listened to our discussion last week, I believe you learned something. And the fact that revivals have happened in various times, and greater revivals have happened even in larger number, in terms of the numbers, beyond what even we had in Acts chapter 2. Because if we're talking about the Welsh revival that happened in Wales, and the amazing thing is, I mean, within a few weeks, can have 70,000 coming to the Lord and all that. You know, some years back, I remember watching this documentary. It's years back, so it's not like on internet that I really remember to watch or save or something. It was one of the Sunday morning TV programs, and a short documentary about a community somewhere in Latin America somewhere. And the whole community, everybody is born again, so the police has no work to do, the prison is closed, no crime. It's like a Christian, true Christian life. And it's a farming community to the point where when they plant their things, their harvest is extra large. You see the produce, and it's like, this one, it's only God who has blessed the things. It's like, even the produce, their farm produce is different. Because the whole community is a Christian community. The whole community, everybody is saved. Everybody is born again. And it's like, you realize indeed, when I look at that thing, it tells us that we Christians are to be blamed for the ills in our society. Because if we are all to really get on our knees to intercede, and we are all to embark on the mission work, our societies would have been different. Oh yeah, our society would have been. Because if, let's even for the purpose of this discussion, let's say all churches in Kumasi, for the decide that for the next, let's say, 1 month, we are not having our normal church as it is, as we know, but we are all reaching out to the lost, going to the communities, the weed smoking gangs, the prostitute joints, all over the place, reaching out to the community. And this is done with the leading of the Holy Spirit, with seriousness and with zeal and with prayer and all that. Can you imagine the number of people that will be saved in Kumasi? And if in some communities and these gang places and all, if they come to Christ and they are saved, who are going to be the armed robbers? Who are going to be the kidnappers? I mean, the kidnappers who have been doing these things and the pickpockets and all. Clearly, crime will reduce. You see, so indeed, someone put it once that a society is a reflection of the state of the church. And if you think about it, it makes sense, because If there are criminals in the community, it means the church has not done its work by reaching out to those criminals in the community. If the system, the community, people are not saved, it means then the church is not working. The church has been lazy by not doing the work that it should have done. So clearly, it tells a lot about the state of the church when you look at the society. And this is in comparison to what I mentioned about this community where everybody was saved and all that. And I believe these are the times we live in where we should desire the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's the essence of this series that I started, as the Holy Spirit led. I'll be back after this short break.
There's a dawn rising on a bright new day. There's a strong wind stirring across the ancient graves. There's a voice that's calling, will you be set free? Oh, there's a change a coming. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. There's a change a coming. Let it start in me. There's a fire that's burning, sweeping close this land. Oh, there's a heat consuming every breath. There's a glory emerging from refining flame. There's a time of sparkling when the there's a revolution coming over the sea. Oh, you know it's coming. People must be free. Feel the tide changing. Hear the waves rolling. Let this revolution wash away. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. There's a change of coming. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. There's a change. There's a song a brewing, there's a sound of rain. When the thunder's rumbling through this flame. Let the troubles be over if we just believe the rains are coming. Let it rain. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. There's a change a coming. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. Let it start in me.
Welcome back to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. We'll be joined by phone soon by Pastor Roger Akwa from Accra, and he will join us soon. Let it start in me. Indeed, this is one desire we should all have, and one prayer we should all pray, that we become the starting point of a change in our lives and a revival in our lives. And I believe this is a good prayer to pray and a good desire to have, because these are good things to think about, and these are good things to really, really wish to have. And we should move beyond the point of wishing to the point of working it out in prayer and all that as well. And I believe he'll be calling soon. Okay. Hello, good evening.
Evening, even.
Yeah.
Can you hear me loud and clear?
Yeah, you are very loud, actually. Good evening, yeah.
We thank God.
Yeah.
As we spoke earlier this evening,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
My lights have been out for over 2 to 3 hours now.
Okay, wow.
That's but mm-hmm. We know God is in control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Holy Spirit being ahead mm-hmm. knew that this day will come. And this is what the forces of darkness will be trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave us an advance warning to prepare ahead.
Yeah.
So that's why the fact that tonight I am standing outside, because there is no light.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord has given us the opportunity to do what must be done.
Amen.
And we say once again, good evening to your listeners, mm-hmm. to your cherished listeners.
Yeah.
But tonight I want to begin with a prayer.
Okay.
Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we break every veil that is covering or standing between us and every listener.
Amen.
Because Bible says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto you. Lord, it is time to draw men unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Let the blood of Jesus go ahead of us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Tonight I will start it this way. John chapter 12 verse 32. Bible says, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me.
Mm-hmm.
Why did Jesus say, if I be lifted? Any flag that is lifted up, it is that flag that is sin.
Yeah.
So in the olden days, when they go for war, what will show that we have the victory is that we lift up the white flag.
Yeah.
So the moment a white flag is lifted high, everybody begins to rejoice, knowing that one, victory is assured. Two, there is peace and the rest.
Mm-hmm.
But, and in the same way, that is what we have to do. But the devil always wants to counter. Today, as we speak, within the week, I met about 5 children. They were less than 4 years, and they were talking about coronavirus. 5 children,
mm-hmm.
less than 4 years, talking about coronavirus. I was asking myself, what are they discussing about? What do they know about it? Why are they discussing it? Because everything that is lifted up is what takes preeminence.
Yeah.
So, that is what has been lifted up. And now, where is that discussion centered? In the office? In the home? Mm-hmm. At school? In buses and trotro? And this evening, you are now talking about what? The COVID passport. From the day the vaccine came to Ghana, everywhere has been coro vaccine. He says, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. So whatever is lifted up, that is what men will be drawn onto. Let us take note of that.
Yeah.
This is a principle. Whatever is lifted up, that is what men will be drawn onto. And therefore, if the church wants a revival, it is time we lift up the revival.
Mm-hmm.
It is time we begin to talk about it.
Yeah.
It is time we begin to make notes about it.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I want to read what a man of God saw 10 years ago. The Lord said, I will come to you as the latter rain. The former rain of the 70s was just my refreshing. But the latter rain is 7 times greater. It will be a deluge.
Mm-hmm.
I will do what you cannot do. What are we talking about here? We are talking about a move of God that will eclipse every move that has happened before.
Yeah.
And so tonight, our job is to create a highway for the Lord. I want to read a scripture. Just a minute.
So listening to Spirit 88.3 FM on issues of life. We have a caller on the line from Accra, a pastor, and we are discussing the series. We've started this revival of talk, and that's what we are talking about tonight. We are continuing.
Isaiah 62.
Yeah.
Verse 10. Hello.
Yeah.
Isaiah 62, verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
Says, go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Go through the gates.
Yeah.
Prepare ye the way of the people. We have entered into the time that the church is supposed to prepare the way for the people. What people are we talking about? The way for the people that has been prophesied of old. The way for the revival.
Yeah.
And my job and your job is to prepare the highway. So tonight, as we speak about revival, it is just a preparation of the way. We are preparing in our homes. We are preparing in our houses. We are preparing in our schools. We are preparing in our offices. We are preparing in our cars. We are preparing in our neighborhood, and they will prepare in the church.
Mm-hmm.
That will prepare in the church. Why do we need a revival? Since today men have forgotten God, sin flourishes on every side, and the pulpit fails to grip. A minister of the gospel is sent to turn men from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. But today, all this has failed. And when you started, you said something, that the spiritual condition of the church is what is seen in the nation. And it is true.
Mm-hmm.
Men have forgotten God. Sin is flourishing on every side. Why? The pulpit fails to grip.
Yeah.
The pulpit has no power again. The pulpit only has power when it comes up, when we begin to talk about financial issues. The pulpit has only power when we begin to talk about grace. But the pulpit has no power when we talk about revival. Why? The person speaking does not believe there is a revival coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there is a revival coming. There is a revival coming. And I realized that this was scattered, or it has been scattered in the Bible in various verses.
Yeah.
Tonight, I will look at the Isaiah 50 verse 1. Verse 1. It says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Mm-hmm. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. This evening you were asking a question. Are we going back to normal? We are not going back to normal. We are only a new normal. Why? Darkness has begun, but scripture says, it must cover the earth. So we are hearing of seeing glimpses of darkness, but it is yet to cover the earth. We are hearing some, but we are yet to hear more.
Yeah.
And gross darkness the people. But what I like about this scripture is that it says, but the Lord shall arise upon thee. Who is the thee there?
Mm-hmm.
As you listen to me, as you listen to our discussion tonight, you are the D there.
Yeah.
But the Lord shall arise upon you. You, the child, the adult, the middle-aged man, the pastor, whoever. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. When you pick Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2, you see that this scripture happens together. Darkness and light together. It is not darkness first, then light first. It is darkness and light together. Because when it says, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, this is a description of the darkness that is we are about to see. Then it continues that, but the Lord shall arise upon thee. That means that in the midst of the darkness, yeah, the Lord shall arise.
Yeah.
And how would the Lord arise? The Lord will arise when you are prepared, when I am prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Then verse 3 begins to tell us what will happen when the Lord arises upon us. He says, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light,
mm-hmm,
and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Last week, I said, if you are here, or if you are listening to me, and you think all is lost, all is not lost, because the great grace in church history is not in our past, but it is in our present and in our future. This is the best time to be a Christian,
mm-hmm,
because we are going to see things we have not seen before. Many times we read the Bible and it looks like it is history. But now we are going to see the practicality of it. COVID passports can come, but the power of God is going to arise higher and higher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, during this time of Kuru,
yeah,
it has been a good time. But this Kuro that has happened, they brought. Kuro has only been able to enter stadiums, but has not been able to stop the playing body.
Mm-hmm.
Repeat. Coronavirus has been able to enter stadiums, but has not been able to stop the playing body. But let's listen to what happened when there was revival in Wales.
Yeah.
It says, wave after wave of the Holy Spirit was passing over the land. The degree to which this move was affecting society could be seen in the way that it impacted the favorite Welsh sports, football, soccer. At the time the revival broke out, the whole nation was nearly in a frenzy over the sport. Working class men seemed to think and talk about this one obsession. Gambling on the games was rampant. Today, what are we seeing?
Better.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Then the staff football players were converted and joined the open air street meetings to testify of the glorious things that the Lord had done for them. How would we feel when Cristiano Ronaldo is converted? Mbappe is converted. All the stars are converted. Now let's look at what happened. Soon the players were so captivated with the Lord that they lost interest in the games. And the team disbanded. The stadiums were empty. Is it called empty stadiums? But players are still playing. But this one, the team disbanded. He says this miracle could only be compared to turning on your television set one Sunday afternoon to watch a National Football League game, only to hear the announcers trying to explain that none of the players had shown up. Let me read like a commentator. This, ladies and gentlemen, the football match we are coming to watch is between Club A and B. But unfortunately, none of the players have shown up because they are out evangelizing the city. And none of the fans have shown up because they are also out there too. No one preached against sport or football. Take note. No one preached against sport or football. The people have simply become so passionate for the Lord that for a season, such games just could not interest either the players or the people. Has Corona been able to kill a passion football? No. Has it been able to kill a passion for something? No. It has only succeeded in killing a passion to go out, to hug, to shake hands and the rest. But it has not been able to stop everything. But there is a survival coming that can stop your passion and my passion in other necessary things. It says, for a season, such games just could no longer interest either the players or the people. So, we read Isaiah 60. You think Isaiah 60 is a joke? It says, verse 3, it says, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, kings to the brightness of thy rising. Then verse 4, he says, lift up thy eye round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy sons that come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then verse 5, then thou shalt see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea, that is people, shall be converted unto thee, and the forces and thou shall come unto thee. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is the result of not man, but God.
Yeah.
But man is the vehicle that God will use. And tonight, I am telling you, be ready, and I must be ready. Tonight, our job from tonight is to lift up the banner of Christ on high. So that he does the rest. Because I know that as I'm speaking, the reason why I had to take all this news for you to get the understanding is that many people think it is never possible.
Yeah. Actually, they've not even thought of it.
They have not even thought of it, but ask yourself this question. Amen.
Yeah.
Last year, January, did we believe that every child will be knowing about Koro by this time?
No.
It was news to us.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, it would even have become a dream. Is that not so?
Yeah.
But 1 year down the line, after lockdown in March, 1 year down the line, every child in Ghana knows about Koro, true or false?
Yeah, true.
Every person in Ghana knows about it. So, who told you revival is not possible?
Yeah.
Revival is very, very possible. If Wells Stadium can be emptied, if you know how the British like football, then you will know that revival can be what? Can be very possible. He says nobody talked against football, but people lost passion.
Mm-hmm.
People lost interest. Not the people only, but the players themselves. Tonight, I pray that the revolution is coming over the sea, which we will all know it is coming and people must be free. I pray that you will be part of that revolution.
Yeah, amen.
I pray that you begin to feel the tides. Feel the tides that are changing. Hear the waves rolling in and let to wash away our sins, my sin, your sin, and everybody's sin.
Yeah.
Be ready to lift up your hands and say, Father, I am willing. Because it must start. This week, even as we were discussing about the news and other things,
yeah.
I told you that I am not surprised because I know it must come.
Mm-hmm.
And last week, we looked at Joel 2:28. We looked at Joel 2:28. And we looked at the things that must happen. And we saw that when it finished, it says, and the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. If tonight you are listening to us, and you can feel that terrible things are coming, then don't be a Christian who only looks at the terrible things. Look at the glory of the Lord is coming. Look at the glory of the Lord descending. I have realized from studying Bible that every time the devil tries to counter, God has a plan. Never lose.
Mm-hmm.
And let me send us a bit back to the book of Genesis. When you look at Ezekiel chapter 28, Ezekiel 28 from verse 11 makes us to see that the devil was Lucifer was in the Garden of Eden. Ezekiel 28,
yeah.
verse 11. Let me just read. I want to pick things from scripture so that when we build well.
Yeah.
Ezekiel 28, verse 13. Thou have been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious covering. The sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, and the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. So Lucifer was first in Eden, the garden of God. And the Bible said that what? Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created. So iniquity was found in thee. So why did Satan lose his position? Iniquity was found in him. Is that not so?
Yeah.
Correct. Then we fast forward to Genesis. Genesis now tells us that God, after creating the world, built a garden. And he called the garden of Eden. What garden was Satan in? Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
God put man in. And when man had been put in the garden, it means man has replaced Satan. And when man replaced Satan, if you read the aspect where the serpent spoke to Eve,
yeah.
it wasn't just a normal speaking. It was behind the scenes. Satan was telling man, this is not your place. This was my position. I am here to bring you down.
Yeah.
and he succeeded in doing that. But the moment he did that, God pronounced something, and that is what has brought us to this point. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And this has sparked confrontation right from the book of Genesis up to today.
Yeah.
Therefore, if darkness is arising, note that the devil, when he even entered the garden, he could not win. He only succeeded in driving, in letting God drive out man, but he could not succeed. He got an aspect, but God increased the pressure on him that his head bruised.
Yeah.
So, in this time, if darkness is coming, if darkness is drawing closer, the LGBT thing we had in Ghana, it is just a wave that is blowing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is part of the darkness. As darkness draws closer, Isaiah tells us that the Lord will arise in us. He is not arising in himself. He is arising in us.
Yeah.
Let us take note of that scripture. He says, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. So Christ will not arise outside. He will arise in you before it is seen outside. And that is where the revival starts.
Yeah.
The revival starts in you. The revival does not start outside. It starts in you. It starts in your home. It starts in your church.
Mm-hmm.
The revival must start in you. And so tonight we are all supposed to build the upper room. I will keep mentioning the upper room because we cannot leave the upper room until we are endued with power.
Yeah.
We cannot until we are endued with power. And this evening, you said one thing, that Peter, when he spoke, 1,000 people got converted.
Mm-hmm.
If it is not revival, what can today, if Peter speaking was in today's steps, then it means big mega church. Is that not so?
Oh yeah, 3,000. Yeah.
Yes, would have opened a mega church, but we are looking at revival beyond mega churches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Revival beyond mega churches. Let me tell you a sad thing I saw this week. I saw a woman who had a baby at her back. The baby is lesbian. I saw her smoking weed around 12 p.m. Very nice lady with a baby less than 3 months. Or she we.
Wow.
I looked at her, I went and I came back. The next day, I passed the same place, getting to that same time, and I met the lady again. But now, because of my knowledge about the revival, when I see all these people, this is what I begin to tell myself. Get ready, all in the kingdom of God. Get ready, all of you are going to the kingdom of God. Get ready, it is coming. It is coming. It is coming. It is coming. Because the church cannot do it.
Yeah.
This one, we need the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor, listening to me, you have done some.
Yeah.
You have formed evangelism groups. Well done. But it is time into the supernatural of God and go beyond what you have done. With this one, nobody is going to take the credit for himself. I can't take the credit. Go all and say, this is the work of God. This is the path of the Holy Spirit at work. And that is what we must be looking at. Please, we are not looking at a church here. We are looking at souls. As we sit down today, as you hear all this sort of bad news, what has been crossing your mind? The first thing that crosses your mind is that the devil is winning. And I believe there are many Christians who are listening to me who agree. Mm-hmm. That it looks like the devil has taken over the throne and God has dethroned. Is that not so?
Yeah.
But God can never lose. Heaven can never be depopulated. God has his last laugh. Mm-hmm. Those times when we were watching Killer and Blue Man, everybody, even when the kid is so strong and he beats the Blue Man, what will we say? The girl people will say, Killer Bagbo La Show. Killer Bagbo La Show. Yes. Yes. Because at the end of the movie, the man must be the winner. Mm-hmm. At the end of this movie that I'm talking about, God will be the winner. Get ready for it.
Yeah.
And when you begin to have that agenda at the back of your mind, you will know that God will win. It happened in the wilderness when the snakes or the serpents beat Israel. Bible said God told Moses to lift it toward, make a bronze serpent, lift it toward, up. Why didn't he put it down? He says, when you look, you will live. Every house must begin to lift the name of Christ once again.
Yeah.
And as we lift up the name of Christ, a strong wind is about to blow. As you can feel the wind of LGBT, you can feel the wind of business, you can feel the wind of what? Vagabondness. You can feel the wind of Rastafarianism and the rest. Get ready. A stronger wind is about to blow.
Yeah.
And when we go to the Old Testament, I like using the Old Testament, especially Exodus. When we go to Exodus, Bible says, when Moses lifted up his rod, when Moses lifted up his rod in Exodus chapter 14, mm-hmm. What happened? Bible said the whole night the Lord caused an east wind,
yeah,
a mighty wind to blow. All that Moses had to do was lift up the rod. Tonight, all that you and me will be doing to lift up Christ.
Yeah.
In your home, at your workplace, wherever you are, lift up Christ. Lift up Christ. Lift up Christ. Lift up Christ. And he himself will do the rest. We have been taught mathematics. We have been taught logic and reasoning. And therefore, I know people listening to me want to reason through this. You can never reason through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
All that you do is that you lift him up and he does the rest. I pray that tonight we will lift him up. I pray that tonight we will lift him up. I pray that from tonight, you and me will begin to lift him up.
Mm-hmm.
If we want stadiums to empty, and I will read, I have some few minutes. Let me read a portion.
Yeah.
Time's over. Eben read it. It says, even the most powerful politicians, statesmen, intellectuals, and rival religious leaders had difficulty denying the impact of the revival on the entire principality of Wales. Debts were paid. Stolen goods returned. the taverns were sitting and closed. A serious problem developed at the mines because the horses had been paying response to the curses of the drivers. And since drivers did not curse anymore, the horses could not understand their commands. Then, political meetings were postponed because members of parliament were in the revival meetings. Hallelujah. This one, it is a revival that does not exclude anybody.
Yeah.
Then, theater companies quit going to Wales because no one would attend their shows. Magistrates were presented with white gloves in many towns to signify that there were no rest. The prisons were emptied. Revival swept the universities day after day for months. Over 70,000 names of new converts were reported in the papers in just 2 months. We are looking at Wales revival. Wales is a small country. In just 2 months, 70,000. Now, try to extrapolate it into our time today and look at the number of people that will be saying, this one, there was no internet. Instagram. This one, there was nothing.
It was just newspaper.
It was only newspaper.
Yeah, newspaper.
But even the newspaper, 70,000. When I read it, let's just read it one by one for just the next few minutes. The most powerful politicians, statesmen, intellectuals, and rival religious leaders. Today, as I'm speaking, a pastor may be listening to me and will not be happy with me. He will not be happy with me. He will know that Asama me can be good now, sorry. But I'm not talking about money. I am not talking about membership. I am talking about God.
Yeah.
Rival. All this rivalry will stop. Then, most powerful statement, intellectuals. You know, the intellectuals. The bookmen. All of them had difficulty denying the impact of this revival. Go to someone and tell the person, pay my debt. It is not possible. But the writings here say debts were paid. How can thieves steal your goods and return? It is only the Lord that can do this.
Yeah.
It is only the revival. It is only the Holy Spirit that can cause this to happen. How can taverns forsaken and close? Can we close night bars? Can we close pubs? Tonight, as we speak, if it is not Koro, almost every street, Saturday evening, Eboso. But they were all closed. Why? The people were not interested. My mother, my father, if you are listening to me and you are overwhelmed with everything that is happening in the world, cry Christ tonight. Let's go to Christ and say, Lord, I want to be part of this revival and therefore I call you down. One prayer that the Lord taught us, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Tonight, pray that the kingdom of God will not come as money, but will come as revival.
Yeah.
It will not come as money, but it will come as a heavier wave of the Holy Spirit. God willing, next week, we will talk about the latter rain. But tonight, we will end here by saying, everybody go on your knees and begin to pray. Father, let your kingdom. Lord, we are under stress. Lord, we cannot take this any longer. Father, pour your rain upon us, and it will begin to rain once again. God bless you.
God bless you too. Thank you, Pastor Roger, for this discussion. Indeed, the issue of revival is very, very critical in the times we are in, not only for souls to come into the kingdom, but for ourselves, to empower us for the times ahead, as I was saying it last week, because we need to be empowered ourselves. We need to be empowered as evil increases. We need to have stronger and greater energy and spiritual power to confront the times ahead. And revival is the key for us. It's important, it's critical, and I believe as we pay attention to this all important thing, the Holy Spirit himself will start working in us and start moving in us, and the impact will go beyond ourselves and our homes and into our communities and our churches and beyond. And indeed, these are desires that if you have, I believe God will not turn us down if we indeed have a sincere heart for it. And this is the second edition of this series. It will be uploaded on our website, spiritissues.info, for those on the Telegram line to the Telegram application. In the group, I would upload it there as well. Those who want to join the Telegram group, it's purely a group. I just put information there. It's not like a group that people will be chatting and disturbing you. So it's just purely for information picking only. And it's good because when you join the previous things that are in the group, you are still able to have access to it, unlike WhatsApp. So you can download the Telegram app and then search for at spirit issues, and that's the group short form, and you can join or search for Spirit Issues, maybe Spirit FM, and you find it, and then you can join as well. And I believe let's listen to these things again and let's keep praying along these lines. This is Eben, and I had with me Pastor Roger, joining by phone from Accra. And let me end by playing this song again. We need the Holy Ghost revival. All right. So, God willing, next week we'll be coming your way again. So, good night and God bless you.
Laying barren, desolation everywhere, harvest that we long for, we look, but it's not there. The devil sows his evil seed to thwart the master's plan. It's higher. Precious.